2 Chronicles chapter 9. When the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, she came to Jerusalem to prove Solomon with hard questions, with camels that bore spices, gold, precious stones. When she'd come to Solomon, she talked with him of all that was in her heart. Solomon answered all her questions, and there was nothing hidden from Solomon which he didn't tell her. Don't forget, he's been given wisdom by God, so he could answer her really well. When the queen of Sheba had seen the wisdom of Solomon and the house that he'd built and the food of his table, the sitting of his servants, the attendance of his ministers, and the ascent by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her, and she said to the king, "It was a true report that I heard in my own land of your acts and your wisdom, but I didn't believe the words until I came and my eyes had seen it." Well, that's so true that people can hear the wonderful ideas about Jesus and God and the kingdom from us, but very often it's not until they see it all practiced in someone's life that then they believe. Otherwise, it's all just ideas. Happy are your men, happy are your servants who stand continually before you and hear your wisdom. Well, at this time, yes, Solomon's servants were happy, but when he dies, the people come to Rehoboam and say, "Your father whipped us with whips. Please just lighten up a bit with us." So it all looked fantastic, and she was taken in by it, and yet Solomon later on slips away from this. "Blessed be Yahweh your God, who delighted in you to set you on his throne to be king for Yahweh your God." So God was still their king, but he made these kings over them who were to be king on his behalf. So Israel were the kingdom of God in the past. But when they sinned, at the time of Zedekiah, the Babylonians came, destroyed the kingdom. And God said, "I will overturn it, and it will be no more until he come whose right it is, and I'll give it him." And who was that?
Jesus.
That's right, Jesus. So then the kingdom is going to be re-established when Jesus comes back. But it did exist in the form of the kingdom of Israel in the past. She gave the king 120 talents of gold and spices and precious stones. The servants of Hiram and the servants of Solomon brought gold from Ophir, and they brought algum trees and precious stones. And the king made of the algum trees terraces for the house of Yahweh and for the king's house, and harps for the singers. King Solomon gave the queen of Sheba all she desired, whatever she asked. So she returned to her own land, she and her servants. Now the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 666 talents of gold. 666. That's what you read about in the book of Revelation, that the mark of the beast would be the number of a man, 666. A bit difficult to make a direct connection, but I think what it shows is that underneath all, apparently everything going so well for Solomon, underneath all was not well. And we know that it wasn't, because later his wives turned away his heart and he turns away from God unto the idols. And so it can be that people can apparently be going really well, but really it's just an appearance when things are not well spiritually underneath. Moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory, of elephant tusks, and overlaid it with pure gold. That's just luxury in the extreme, and God is not that kind of God at all. There were 6 steps to the throne with a footstool of gold, and 2 lions standing beside the stays. 12 lions stood there on both sides of the 6 steps. There was nothing like it made in any kingdom. All King Solomon's drinking vessels were made of gold. Silver was nothing accounted of in the days of Solomon. The king had ships that went to Tarshish with the servants of Hiram. Once every 3 years came the ships of Tarshish, bringing gold, silver, ivory, apes and peacocks. Sounds like they were going to somewhere in the Gulf or in India. So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom. It's so sad that when he gets old, He writes this book called Ecclesiastes, where he basically turns away from God and says, well, all this God stuff is good for the kids, good for the youngsters. But for me, he says, all this stuff, this wisdom is far from me personally. And he likens himself to an old and foolish king. And he says that after death, well, it's just unconsciousness. There's no advantage in being wise. The wise man dies as the fool. So sad. He had no hope of the coming of the kingdom of God. He had no hope of the resurrection. He has no sense of the wonder of personal sin being forgiven. All the kings of the earth sought Solomon to hear his wisdom which God had put in his heart. So he has all this wisdom, he teaches it to other people, but he admits in the end that personally he didn't really accept it. It was far from me, he says. And so people can believe on one level and even preach and yet not believe it themselves. That's why when you look at his Proverbs, it's all wonderful what he says. But then you look at his own life and he just doesn't do it. He says, for example, don't pay too much attention to gold and silver. Be careful of Gentile women. Don't get involved with them. And yet at the same time, he's marrying literally hundreds of them. Solomon had 4,000 stalls for horses and chariots and 12,000 horsemen that he stationed in the chariot cities. Well, the king of Israel, Deuteronomy said, was not to multiply silver and gold and horses and chariots. And he had to copy out that law. The king of Israel was to copy out that law. But unfortunately, he just copied it out. He knew it, but he does exactly the opposite. That's what we got to be careful, that we don't think that just because I know God's truth, I am therefore okay. We've got to do it. Solomon slept with his fathers. You see how death for the people who are responsible to God is a sleep. The next he knows, he'll be resurrected and judged. He slept with his fathers, was buried in the city of David, and Rehoboam, his son, reigned in his place.